Welcome to the Life on the Upcycle podcast. I'm Ashley Titus, a coffee-obsessed, cloth-diaper-loving working mother with a master's degree in environmental management. Each week, I'll be bringing you interviews from experts with tools to help your busy family live a more eco-friendly, centered life. In a world that's constantly demanding you to show up, you won't have to worry about that here. I'll do the heavy lifting. So relax and enjoy. And together, let's love Earth Day, because she's the only one we've got. Welcome to episode number 3 of the Life on the Upcycle podcast. First and foremost, thank you so much for tuning in. Your listens and your subscriptions to this podcast really breathe life into it. And for that, I am so grateful. We are embarking on the third week of January. This is where life gets real. Those old habits try to push their way back into our routine. And I don't know about you, but it seems like this week, it tends to be that family members get sick with colds or pets get a little stir crazy with the colder temperatures. And sometimes I just seem to get a little exhausted with too many new changes. And let's not even bring up work stresses. If you find yourself in the same position, fret not, my friends. Today I have some inspiration from Julie Kennedy, owner of Raw Wellness. Julie is quite possibly the busiest person I know. She's a wife, mother, business owner, and she works as a functional medicine nurse in a clinic in Dallas. On top of all of that, she's currently enrolled in graduate school and working to obtain a Doctor of Nursing Practice degree. She is a trooper. You'll hear in the episode that she had the flu right before. You can hear her congestion. You can also hear mine as well from cedar fever. So please bear with us. Before the interview, I had a couple of technical issues. Julie was so sweet and patient and reassuring. I'm so excited to bring this interview to you today. Julie is a wealth of knowledge with lots of practical tips and insight. If you're in the market for a health coach, look no further. Before we dive into the interview, I wanted to touch on food waste. Why is it a big deal? Why are we discussing it today? According to a study from the United States Department of Agriculture in 2010, 30 to 40% of the food in the United States is wasted. Last week, we learned that approximately 16.9 million tons of food waste was sent to the landfills in 2017. On an important side note, I would like to also say that from that EPA Municipal Solid Waste report that we discussed last week, in 2017, 2.6 million tons of food was also utilized to make compost, which is definitely a positive. Okay, so back to it. Why does food waste occur? It happens on two different levels. The first is on the consumer level, and I've definitely experienced this myself. So I had every intention of eating those 2 pounds of carrots that I purchased from Costco, right? Unfortunately, it just didn't happen, and now I found that the carrots are just a liquidy mess in my food bin. Or I bought extra food to prep ahead and make a meal for next week, but somehow that food found its way into the back portion of my fridge, and now it's been wasted. The weeks that I find I'm the worst about food waste is when I find myself Sunday night at the grocery store frantic to prepare for the week, and I don't have a list. So I find myself just throwing impulse items into the cart. Realistically, I'm just not going to have enough time to prepare all of it. Food waste also occurs at the retail level. From the time food leaves the farm, spoilage can occur from being exposed to insects, rodents, mold, or bacteria. Food could also be subject to equipment malfunctions such as faulty cold storage, or it might have just been over-ordered from the store. Did you know that blemished produce is also tossed out? And I'm not just referring to an overly bruised banana. Also a misshaped sweet potato, which seems kind of silly, right? Because it's still edible. There's actually a business called Imperfect Foods, and I'll speak on it because my family's personally used this company. They've made it their mission to save all the misshaped foods, and they do that by going straight to the farms, and then they deliver it to you in a cardboard box that you can actually use again the next week. You can check them out online at imperfectfoods.com. The best way, though, to reduce food waste is through source reduction. Try to only buy what you need, which I know is a lot easier said than done, but that's okay. Julie's got some really great tips to help us with that today. If you find yourself with extra food that you know that you're not going to be able to consume, please try to donate it to the local area food banks. If your food did go bad or you throw those little table scraps into the garbage can, the best thing to do with those items is to actually try to compost them. Our city and many more have composting programs. We take our food scraps to designated collection sites within the city, and then the city will compost all of it for us. We've lived in cities that don't have those programs, and if you find yourself in the same situation, you can also try your hands at composting. It's a lot easier than it sounds. I've included a link to a really great guide from the EPA in the show notes below. In today's episode, Julie from Raw Wellness will give us tips and ideas that you can start implementing right away. These tips will help you reduce food waste, and it'll also help you to be more efficient with your own time. Julie is a true educator, so she didn't just speak on food planning. She also gave some really insightful advice on the importance of self-care. Before I dive in, I wanted to talk a little bit about Raw Wellness. Julie and I talked about her business during the beginning of the interview, but unfortunately, I lost it from technical difficulties. Julie sees clients for integrative nutrition, functional medicine, yoga, and cooking classes. She was inspired to start Raw Wellness from her own life experiences. She realized it wasn't just about going to the gym for optimal health. Raw Wellness is based on the four pillars of health: emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual. She helps her clients achieve improvement or growth in all four pillars of health. Julie meets with her students one-on-one, and she's gone to the grocery store with them, she's helped them clean out their pantries, and she's given them one-on-one cooking classes. Julie also has a passion for workshops, and that's where we'll dive in.
So tell me about your workshop.
Yes, I partner with different businesses, like-minded people within the community, whether it's bar studios or Pilates studios, different gyms. I've worked with Juice Junkies before, do different topics that are popular right now. And I'm also partnering with Trinity Valley School, which is a private school here in Fort Worth, and doing some workshops for yoga and then some cooking classes as well.
That's really neat. Are you still going to be pursuing the self-care Sundays?
Yes. So I partner with Body Bar, which is a style of Pilates group classes. And we are doing the first Sunday of every month. We do a combination. It's a 75-minute self-care, a great time for people to, you know, just start fresh for the month and do a little something special for themselves. It's 30 minutes of Body Bar Pilates, 30 minutes of yoga that I teach, and then a 15-minute little nutritional info session.
What I love the most about what you do is you're looking at everything. In my family, we've personally come across that in some doctor's offices, you go and you have such a short amount of time to go over your symptoms and what's happening, and then you're just kind of given a Band-Aid till your next visit. But I love that you're looking at it holistically and at all of the different, you know, parts of someone's life.
Yes, I mean, what I've learned just even in my own life, I mean, that's really where it starts, right? You just learn from experiences and struggles. And what I've learned is that if my relationships are not good, if I'm not happy in my work, if I'm not sleeping, if I'm stressed, then my eating is not going to be on par. There's actually a workshop that I love to lead, and I called it the Foundations of Nutrition. And it really is about looking at all the different aspects of your life before you even are able to make good food choices.
Where can our listeners find you?
My website is raw-wellness.net. There's information on upcoming workshops and classes, and also obviously an opportunity to contact me if you want to schedule, whether privately or a group workshop session. And then I'm also on Instagram, My Raw Wellness, and Facebook as well.
Perfect. That's a wide array of places.
Yeah.
We had a really neat conversation on the phone the other day that I enjoyed. Kind of wanted to touch base on that again. Energy efficiency. You brought that up, and I thought that was really interesting to think about it in terms of nutrition.
Well, one of the things that I like to think about with energy is that I feel like it's like money, and we only have so much, whether it's a waste thing within the planet,
right,
or personal energy. I think that's really important, especially when you're looking at women that work and have families. I think it's very important for us to be mindful of how we use our energy. Again, just like money.
I agree completely. January, so you know, everyone's, you know, new year, new you. And they tend to just look at something in one direction. But what I love about what you teach is that it also kind of overflows too into environmental conservation, in the sense that if you're planning ahead your meals and your nutrition and saving that individual energy, what in turn you're also doing is reducing the amount of food that you're wasting. So would you mind sharing with us what your best planning tips are?
Sure. I look at a month ahead as far as scheduling workout times for myself, self-care, time with friends, time to go to church, time to worship, right? All of the pillars that I talked about. And I schedule those appointments with myself, kind of like the doctors. When you schedule an appointment, you're going to get charged if you don't show up.
Right.
You may not get charged financially right away, but we do get fees assessed, whether it's, you know, poor health, not being in the best shape, things like that. It shows up in different ways that we get charged, if you will.
Definitely.
So I make those appointments with myself and I show up. I keep them. That's one of the ways that I schedule out. And then for the week, I look at our menu. So food menu, I plan every Sunday. Now I've gotten to where I'm very efficient at doing this, so it only takes maybe 5 minutes.
Wow.
I'd say when you first start, you know, plan to spend 15 or 20 minutes planning a menu for the week.
Okay.
And then a shopping list. And it makes it easy. I just go to my menu and pick what we're having for dinner. And so that's how I kind of organize from a bigger picture. I look at the month ahead for the bigger fill-ins just to make sure that I get my movement in every day. That's really important for my emotional and mental health.
Oh, absolutely.
And then food is obviously a big piece to staying healthy.
When you plan your food, just curious, do you assign a meal to a day or it's for the week or how do you do that?
Yeah. So for me, fish items, I like to cook sooner than later.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Typically, I may go to the store twice or I'll freeze the protein. I'll freeze the meat and then pull it out, you know, a couple days before.
Okay.
So usually the fish items I cook for seafood, I should say, I cook first. And then chicken and then beef tends to stay a little bit longer.
Okay. I know you had mentioned a common question that you get is, how do you know how much to cook?
Yes. I always make my meals the night before or in the morning before the day begins for the next day. And the reason I do that, and I'll get to your question. The reason that I do that is because when I'm hungry and I come home from a long day of work, it's not the best time for me. When I'm hangry, if you will.
Right? That's hungry, when I binge angry. The most, is from 5 until 6 probably, or, you know, 5:30 to 6:30 when I'm trying to cook, and then I just shove all of the things.
Yes.
And well, I get thrown off.
Exactly. I mean, I feel like we have a little bit of an emotional letdown from the day when we come home.
That makes sense.
And so emotional eating I've seen is very, very common. And we're tired. And there's also a transition from being in the grown-up world, if you work, to going home and having kids screaming and yelling. And it's pretty shocking. Not having food ready to go is really not setting ourselves up for success, knowing all of that going in. The other thing I do is I prepare enough food to have for lunch the next day.
Okay.
So when it comes to portions, which was your original question, 3 to 4 ounces per person of, you know, a protein source if you eat traditional meat and seafood.
Okay.
Or per meal. Like I said, if I'm going to make enough for my lunch the next day, then I would double that amount. And then as far as vegetables, 1/2 cup cooked vegetables to 1 cup is pretty average per side or per vegetable. So those are kind of the measures that I go by.
Since we talked last, I tried to incorporate cooking the night before into my week. And I did notice it went a lot easier.
Yes.
It was really nice.
Yeah. It's better to prepare after we've already eaten and, you know, our bodies are happier. Our blood sugar is more stable. Our brain is fed. Mm-hmm. And so from that place, we're able to work from, you know, a more stable foundation.
Definitely. I could see that.
Yeah.
I need to start doing the mornings, though. That's a great idea.
Yes, I do that a lot.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, either it depends on what I have going on.
You'd mentioned, too, that you try to organize your life around movement. Would you mind explaining that a little bit more?
Yeah, I love it. You know, before you have children and you can schedule these, right, 1.5 hour time, 2 hours, whatever you want at
the
gym.
I used to have like 3 hour Saturday morning workouts. It
so
was the
great.
Best.
So great. And so now it does not look like that. And there are times where I'm kind of, you know, I've been an extremist in my life where it was like all or nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, if I can't do that, then I just won't go. And so my daughter has blessed me with this, trying to figure out and get a little bit more creative around movement. So she's almost 11. I will, what I call grab time. If I don't have 30 minutes to go to the gym, which, you know, turns into, what, an hour by the time you drive.
And, oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a process,
it
right?
Is.
So I will park my car farther. If I get to pick her up early, instead of scrolling through Facebook, mm-hmm. I may walk around the school.
Oh, that's a great
even
idea.
Even if it's just 5 minutes. Because if we do this 5-6 times a day, you get a good 25-30 minutes of movement in.
Right.
So mine is sprinkled throughout the day a lot of times.
Okay.
If I arrive to work 5-10 minutes early, I'll walk around the building.
Really?
Yes.
I never thought to do that. That's brilliant.
Or walk the halls at lunch or at my desk. I actually posted little 5-minute workouts at different stations throughout our office. I have bands that we purchased and have for everybody to use, and just take, you know, a 5-minute break and do some push-ups, crunches, leg lifts, things like that.
It's funny that you say that, even just, you know, during lunch, because I've had jobs before where they've encouraged you to kind of work through lunch and sit at your desk and eat during lunch. And what I've actually found is that I'm less productive.
It's so true. I would say, Ashley, that that's true just in general with life on a whole basis. You know, the less self-care we have in general, the less efficient, the less happy, the less everything we will be. And so just taking that time daily is very, very important.
Curious, what does self-care look like for you? Found that it looks different for everyone. Yeah. So what does it look like?
And it does. It is different for everybody, because what fills your cup, you know, can be different than mine. And so I think that is very important to take some time. Talk about planning, you know, take some time and really make a list of things that fill your cup. I have a mentor that I've had for the last almost 10 years. I told her when my daughter was little, I said, you know, my cup is dry. I feel like I have nothing to give. I mean, you've probably, as a mom, we've said that, or as a friend, as someone who works, we've all said that at one point. And she told me, you're not supposed to give from your cup. You're only supposed to give from what's overflowing. That was such a visual for me that self-care is very important. And especially if you are in a giving role, whether it's a wife or a mom or an employee or a nurse or a teacher, you know, any of those types of giving roles, it's very important to have your cup actually overflowing and not give from our cup. As far as self-care, it's important for us to make a list of things that make us happy. Again, that looks different for everybody. For me, movement is very important. I also enjoy traveling. I enjoy hanging out with my friends. Going to church is very important for me.
I agree.
For self-care. And then just really good food. Cooking, enjoying good food. All of those things are part of my self-care. You know, I told a friend of mine who was a new mom, and I share with my clients too. Again, maybe I don't, you know, financially don't have the means to or the time to go get a facial once a month or a massage like I used to. So every morning I'll just do my nails, or I'll do a little facial scrub, or shave my legs, or, you know, just one thing every day that makes me feel like a woman still.
I think that's really important. I discovered in grad school, have you seen those heating pads that you can put over your shoulders?
Yeah.
Those are amazing. They're a little bit weighted.
Right.
Yes. So those, and then also to, you know, the quick and easy little facials that you can do at home. So in between study breaks, I would take like 15 minutes and heat that puppy up, do a quick facial, and it helped my sanity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And that's exactly what I'm talking about as far as just these little things. And it's kind of like, I know your life on the upcycle is a lot about energy efficiency and recycling and things like that.
Absolutely.
If you think about it in that terms, we think, oh, this just one can on the street, one piece of trash. It's not that big of a deal. But if we keep picking up one piece here and there, it's going to add up to a lot. So it's the same with self-care. It's the same with our health. A little bit here and there, it doesn't have to look like this big, extravagant, expensive thing that it used to when we were young.
Yeah,
when we had the time.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
That's
perfect.
Hi, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that we were also on social media. You can find us at Facebook and Instagram on Life on the Upcycle. Within Facebook, we have an awesome community group. It'd be awesome if you started a conversation within the community. There, you can post questions, give suggestions for things that you've implemented into your house to help other busy families. And lastly, have you followed this podcast? It would be awesome if you would. That way, you'll get updates on the newest episodes. Let's dive back in.
Do you have maybe any shopping tips you could share?
So as far as shopping tips, you know, there are times when it's okay to buy the whole Brussels sprout and cut it and shave it yourself, or to buy the whole cauliflower and wash it and rice it and do all of that, which is usually cheaper. But when you're busy and you're trying to feed your family in a healthy way, it's okay to give ourselves grace and buy things already riced, right? Yeah. Already zoodled, all of those things. So I've been relying on that quite a bit. Things that are already chopped for me, shaved, whatever.
Right.
All done and ready to go. I also keep things in the freezer just as backup, actually.
Really?
Not necessarily always part of my meal or my menu plan for the week. But if we get in a bind or just right. a weekend lunch.
Or just life happens, yep.
Life happens, right? So always keeping frozen rice cauliflower. That's a big staple for me. Actually, Costco has frozen rice cauliflower for very inexpensive.
I'll have to check that out.
So I would say that. Give yourself permission to buy the things that are already made because it really does save time so that you can do those other self-care things that are really important.
Yes.
Or sleep, right?
Yeah.
Talking about sleep is so important. And then as far as shopping tips too, just buying in bulk, buying from Costco, you know, that whole idea of shopping on the outside of the store where everything is fresh and less processed, that's always going to be healthier for the body. Juicing and smoothies are a great way to get your veggies and fruit in every day. And so that's one thing that I do every day in the morning. We're supposed to have 9 to 12 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, higher on the vegetable side. For us to hit those higher numbers, we really do need to start in the morning with getting vegetables in.
Because otherwise it's pretty bleak looking.
Yes.
When the day gets going, yeah.
And, it's hard and to really get all difficult in. To catch up.
I like smoothies too because it's so easy on the go.
Absolutely. And it's great for kids too. That's true. Sneak a lot of different things in there that gives them all those little phytonutrients that they need.
That's a great idea. I haven't tried that yet. Yeah. I need to do that with my toddler. I'm sure he'd love it.
Another thing I love to do, Ashley, is I like to eat light to heavier. So I'll start with, you know, water with lemon and then a juice. And a yogurt, salad, right? I eat very light throughout the day because our bodies, it takes a lot of energy, speaking of energy, to digest food. Mm-hmm. We kind of forget about that. We think, oh, I'm not going for a run or anything like that. But digestion is work for the body. I feel like it's really important for us to use our energy having fun or working or taking care of our families, right? Doing these things as opposed to spending a lot of energy on digesting big meals.
That makes sense.
So if you're going to go right to sleep in a couple hours, it's better to eat your sweet potatoes and things that are a little bit heavier at night where you're not needing a lot of energy to be productive.
That's a lot to think about.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Have you heard of Wendy Wood? She's a professor at Southern California, and she said that 43% of our daily activity is subconscious.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
So it's, if you're going to start a new habit, it's about throwing yourself out of that normal routine. You can consciously think about what you're doing.
I could see that. Living with more intention. I think that that's very important when it comes to health in general. It's easy to set these goals, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking of New Year, it's easy to set these goals. And then now it's April or it's May and nothing has changed, right? So I think it's very important to plan, whether it's scheduling your time to move or scheduling to meet with a nutritionist or a health coach, right? That way things are changing and in effect.
So do you find that a lot of your clients typically have hectic schedules?
I feel like we attract like-minded people in our lives.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Pretty much every client. Well, no, I scratched that. Every client that I see is type A.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yep. And so I love it because, you know, I really believe that God designed us to serve and to serve in ways that we have learned and grown and again struggled. So I enjoy helping people that are busy still manage their self-care and still thrive in their health, keeping a busy schedule.